You are listening to a free version of The Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday, Tuesday, casual Tuesday, Wednesday, casual hump day, Thursday, casual Thurs, that's what we call it, and Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Friday, April 24th, 2015. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the still industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. Also, oh, it's Casual Friday, folks. Forgot where I was. So casual today. On the program today, Cliff Schechter. We haven't talked to him in a couple of weeks, I feel like. At least between vacation and Vegas and my other vacation and my other vacation. And joining us to give us a movie for the vacation I'm taking this weekend, Isabel Gillies. Also on the program today, Democratic proposal in the House and the Senate. This is how they start, folks. Not going to go anywhere right now, but it could become an issue on the campaign trail. Debt-free college. It's about time. We had this conversation amongst our political class instead of just on this program. No more it's about loans, et cetera, et cetera. How about let's not have to make people take loans to go to college in the first place? And I feel so horrible about this. Comcast is not going to be able to buy Time Warner. Boo. Boo-hoo. Now we're just going to watch them buy a bunch of other crap. But them's the breaks, folks. FCC and DOJ both hemming and hawing enough for Comcast to say, well, we don't even want to buy that. Then forget it. Meanwhile, David Petraeus gets 24 years in prison for leaking incredibly sensitive classified material to his girlfriend. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. No, he got probation and is fined the amount that he probably makes in one speech. So, yes, I got confused by all the other so-called leakers over the past 10 years or so, 8 years, that have gone to prison for extended periods of time because they did what David Petraeus did, or did something not as significant as what David Petraeus did. And I assumed that he would get the same punishment, but no. Huh. Weird how that works out.
To be fair, he does have to make an extra speech now if he doesn't want his wallet to take a small hit.
That's true. That's true. And sometimes public speaking can be really, really terrifying. And more on that drone strike, wherein the White House finally regrets civilian casualties in their drone strike program. I guess as of 2013. Well, what's really amazing about the whole drone strike thing is that no one seems to care. Maybe we'll get to that in a bit. We're going to talk to Cliff more about the TPP because the president has is really going on the offensive and, frankly, going on the offensive against you. And by you, I mean me and you. Although it's possible some of you in the audience are supporters of the TPP. But by all means, call in. Let us know about that. All right. Before we get to Cliff, I want to just do the headline of the day, ladies and gentlemen. This is the headline of the day today. It is Friday, April 24th. From CNN, Ted Cruz, : I still oppose gay marriage. Ted Cruz was forced to reiterate his stance against same-sex marriage on in a Thursday night statement after a news report of comments he made at a fundraising event on Monday in New York City cast some doubt. Apparently, he had some comments that suggested he didn't virulently hate gay people or think that they should necessarily be second-class citizens in the abstract. But this is what was great about Ted Cruz's statement. It speaks volumes that the New York Times considers it newsworthy that a Republican who believes marriage is between a man and a woman would meet with people who hold a different view. What's so hilarious about that statement is that in that same statement, he has to come out and reiterate that he is against gay people having the same rights as straight people. But it's the New York Times. It's just bizarre. They just think it's bizarre that he would meet with people who disagree with him. It doesn't occur to him as bizarre that he has to rush to a microphone to reiterate that he absolutely does not believe that gay people should have the same rights as you or I. That's
Dave, you must reiterate your hatred of the gay.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, Cliff Schechter. We are back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report. And ladies and gentlemen, it is Casual Friday. And it hasn't meant that in the past 2 weeks. But more often than not, far more often than not, Casual Friday means we get to listen to this little musical ditty.
Cliff Schechter. Libertas LLC, New Media, Public Relations, and Strategy. You want any of these? services. You know who you gotta see. Cliff Schachter, Libertas LLC.
Yes, it's Cliff Schachter, ladies and gentlemen, returning. The last time we spoke to him, this was the three-time award-winning Majority Report. And now, of course, it is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. Whoa. And no small part of that is a function of the fact that nearly every Friday we are showered, endowed with the gifts of Cliff Schachter. Hello, Cliff.
Well, hello there, Sam. What award did you win, my friend?
The best news in politics podcast awards at the New Media Expo at the NAB.
Dude, that's huge.
It is. The award itself is not that huge. I mean, it's
a small award, is what you're saying. You mean in size or?
But good things come in small packages. Big thing.
I hear that.
You know,
I've tried to emphasize that as a man of not huge height. That's awesome. Was there a, like, you know, guests who aren't that bad category that I could have been nominated in?
No.
Or no?
No.
Okay, so
there was nothing that specific.
Okay.
But you weren't nominated.
What's that?
He wasn't nominated for that.
Who wasn't?
There is a guests that aren't too bad category, but Cliff wasn't nominated in that category.
Oh.
Are you saying I'm good or bad? I'm not sure.
Take it as you will.
There you go. There's Michael just straddling that line of trying to make the most ambiguous joke possible.
Right. That's Michael. I've heard he's a straddler.
Yes. Well,
Obama of comedy.
All right. Let's get into this because it is, you know, you and I have been talking about the TPP in the context of a big fight that was going to happen. And we have been talking about this for at least 4 or 5 months in the context of the fight that was going to happen. And the one thing where we were going to see a dynamic, and I have to say, kudos to both of us, because the dynamic is exactly playing out as how we've been saying it's going to over the past 5 or 6 months. The TPP, of course, is something that on this program we've been talking about for literally a couple of years at least, maybe more. But this fight now is on. And last night, President Obama was at a speech in Washington, D.C., gave a speech for Organizing for Action Summit in Washington, D.C. And basically, I mean, you know, in not so many words, but people said it was barely veiled, taking shots at Elizabeth Warren, at Bernie Sanders, and frankly, the progressive base, by suggesting that critique of the TPP is akin to critique of Obamacare death panels.
Wow. I didn't know that last part. That's what happens when you're traveling for a day or two here or there. I knew the rest of it. I didn't know that he did the death panel thing. Well, that's silly. I understand why he's doing it, because this thing could fail. It could be beaten. And he's doing what I would argue if I were on his side. I mean, I'll argue objectively, he's smart. You really do have to go after the opposition. It's what I've advocated he do many more times when he was on our side on stuff. So politically, it makes sense in terms of this is the position he's taken, and you have to sort of try to discredit your opposition in that way. Politically, in terms of what he's doing in this final couple years of his presidency, again, just supporting this thing makes no sense to me. And it's not to say that a trade deal of some sort couldn't have been drawn up where Congress would have a chance to look it over and the appropriate protections would be in there and might make some sense. But this isn't it. And fast track is even worse, quite frankly. Fast track is you know, doesn't obviously give Congress an opportunity to get involved in the process. So that, you know, I guess he's doing what people do that are in a corner because Elizabeth Warren has a lot of press attention right now. Bernie Sanders certainly has a strong following for the way he speaks about things. I know my home state senator here, Sherrod Brown, who's got some charisma, this has been his issue for years. This has been the key issue that I've often told people is why Sherrod Brown, a very, very, very progressive guy to the left of most of your senators on the coast, wins here in Ohio. Because every single time he takes on trade, and every single time he wins white working class voters. I don't want to harp on this for too long here, but what's going to play out interestingly here is in the Senate races coming up, not just sort of the presidential sweepstakes and other things going on, but our current senator here in Ohio, who's considered one of the five or six potentially vulnerable, Rob Portman, was Bush's trade guy, top trade guy. And our former governor here and congressman, Ted Strickland, is running against the pact. He voted against NAFTA when he was in Congress, and he's against this. Watch for that to play out, interestingly. I'm sort of interested to see what happens in some other states that have important races that are kind of Midwestern and, you know, that kind of thing. So I think right now, obviously, we've got a lot of opposition in the left, but there seems to be some bubbling and building opposition on the right. It's got these guys that are playing to the far evangelical base that are people that are certainly suspicious of any kind of foreign treaty of any sort, often for the wrong reasons, here and there for the right reasons. Rand Paul, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, all, you know, Lindsey Graham, although he'll still be for the trade deal. That's what he lives and dies for. But the other three, and I don't know if I'm missing anybody else who's in this race at this point, because, you know, if George Pataki could get in, you know, my cat could get in. So no limit on entries to the Republican race.
Let's get to how the presidential politics play on this in a minute. But let me, because you raise Sherrod Brown. I want to give you a quote from Sherrod Brown, which just drives me nuts. And this is a quote from Sherrod Brown in a piece from last night at, I don't know, I guess it was posted around 11 p.m. on Huffington Post. Sherrod Brown, this is a quote. I think if you could get my colleagues to be honest on the Democratic side with you, and I think you can mostly, they will say they've been talked to, approached, lobbied, and maybe cajoled by more cabinet members on this issue than any issue since Barack Obama has been president. That's just sad, he added. Now, he was talking about, he said, I wish they put the same effort into minimum wage. I wish they put the same effort into Medicare at 55. Going back to the Affordable Care Act now, remember, yeah, right? We couldn't get Joe Lieberman. I wish they put the same effort into consumer strengthening on Dodd-Frank. Casey, Bob Casey had this to say.
He's kind of a populist here and there. Is he against this thing?
He added he thought it would be better if the administration took that intensity to lobby folks on trade and applied it to Democrats' effort to focus on the middle class. My God, we should be spending our time on that, not having the debate we're having. And
that is so unbelievably frustrating, isn't it?
It is.
That's what I was saying. The stuff he's doing right now, the lobbying, I guess, is additional to sort of the way he's calling out his opposition. Everything he's doing on this thing, you know, it seems to be the kind of stuff that we wanted forever. And yeah, I think had he gone after Joe Lieberman in the fashion he just went after Elizabeth Warren, maybe a lot of things would be different. Certainly, I think we'd have a better chance of having gotten, if not met, either the public option, Medicare. I mean, obviously, they would have had to not trade it away in the beginning, but Medicare from 55, one of these things that would have made the Affordable Care Act, which I think for the first time now has majority numbers of popularity as more people are on it, are like, wow, it's free and I don't have to go to a death panel and my health care is taken care of. It would have been a majority popular back then. It wouldn't be able to be demonized like it was. It just makes you shake your head just one more time. What's new, right?
All right. Well, so this is where we're at this point. Last night, the House Ways and Means Committee passed its version of trade legislation. We should say nobody's voting on the actual bill. They're voting on the trade authority to basically say to the president, and not just this president, really, any president out for the next 6 years, which could theoretically be two other presidents in addition to this one, right? I mean, theoretically, that you can, you have the authority to go ahead, negotiate this, bring it to the Congress, and get a quick up or down vote that cannot that basically is voted upon, and like no other legislation is voted upon. The House Ways and Means Committee passed its version last night, and it was, there was a couple of Democrats that crossed the aisle apparently to support it, but you know, these are the, these are going to be the most corporate one would imagine.
I thought so. Let me ask this quickly, because maybe you can answer this for me, Sam, being smarter than I am. I thought Ron Wyden was a progressive guy.
Well, you know, people forget Ron Wyden. Now, I'm not talking about the Senate. The Senate Finance Committee did the same thing. And so you have both the House and the Senate now, at least the committees have passed bills that President Obama wants. And then it's got to go, obviously, to the floor in both of those, those, both the Senate and the House. Look, Ron Wyden is very good on things like civil liberties. He, I mean, part of it is a function, I think, that he's from Oregon, and there's probably some very big, there's some very big, probably dollar, supporters who are involved in the shipping trade, and maybe there's some implications there. He's probably very pro trade because of that, but also this is a guy, remember,
also, though, a decent-sized union state, and he's hurting unions by doing it. I would think they'd have something to say about it.
That's true, too. But you got to remember, this is the guy who also struck that deal at one point with Paul Ryan on Medicare, and he had to back off it at one point. Now, we may be going back 4 or 5 years now.
He had but we don't forget things like that. You are right, and I shouldn't have. I should have been thinking about that. I guess the dude likes making bad deals. I don't know. Maybe he can run for president next.
Indeed. And I think, you know, the question is, how isolated is he going to be in the Senate? And the question is, in the House, how much pain is there going to be for Democrats? How difficult is it going to be for Democrats to support this in the House? And will there be enough of a lack of support from Democrats to kill it? And then the other question is,
the problem, though, is the lack of support from Republicans, and how big that is, I think, is the bigger question.
Yes.
Because I think we have to right away know that there's 15 to 25 of the new Dem types in the House who are going to vote for this thing. Blue dog, new Dems. Yep. I can tell you who they are. Jim Cooper, Ron Kind, you know, these kinds of people who you know are going to do it. So the question then becomes, do we have the Republican votes to offset that? It seems to me.
Yeah, and you know, this is I don't know. This seems to me to be just a huge fight. I mean, look, and here's the thing. We don't even know, really. I mean, we're not going to feel the implications of this deal for 15, 20 years, maybe 10 years. We'd have no idea what the implications are going to be, because we don't even know what's in it. I mean, you know, that's the thing, is that the amount of secrecy around this. I want to play you. I mean, here's President Obama, right? He is criticizing at this. It's not the OFA, the same OFA, but he's criticizing. He says last night, he said, it gets on my nerves, people saying this is a secret deal. It is, of course, a secret deal. And the only people who've been able to negotiate this deal are industry basically people from the industries that are involved. Okay. I want to play a clip from an AFL-CIO forum on MSNBC. This basically was a debate on MSNBC, in 2007 during the Democratic presidential primary.
All right.
And, Keith Olbermann asked the question. Everybody looks significantly younger. It was, well, 8 years ago now. Listen carefully.
Let's not look at pictures of ourselves back then. Sam.
No, I know.
Unsettling, I think.
Listen carefully to what then candidate Barack Obama had to say. This is clip number one.
As we continue, scrap NAFTA, Senator Obama, or fix it.
I would immediately call the President of Mexico, the President of Canada, to try to amend NAFTA, because I think that we can get labor agreements in that agreement right now. And it should reflect the basic principle that our trade agreements should not just be good for Wall Street, it should also be good for Main Street. And the problem that we've had is that we've had corporate lobbyists oftentimes involved in negotiating these trade agreements, but the AFL-CIO hasn't been involved. Ordinary working people have not been involved. And we've got to make sure that our agreements are good for everybody, because globalization right now is creating winners and losers. But the problem is it's the same winners and the same losers each and every time.
And so there you have it. I mean, you know, he understood the problem then.
Yes, he did. Then some corporate contributions came in. I don't know, you know, I mean, I try to keep myself from the cynical answer, which is thinking about his post-presidency. But one does wonder, you know what I mean? I mean, the two things I can think of motivating him on this to push as hard as he has for this are as a legacy item, because he does have a lot of legislation to now point to that in the end, with how well Obamacare has ended up doing, again, I still think there could have been more to it, but okay, it's ended up doing very well. He's had one big thing to look to, because the economy has come back, not for everyone, but overall the numbers are good. He's got that to point to his stimulus, and that this is kind of like the capstone to all of that. He can point to this huge trade deal he got passed. That's one of two reasons, and the only other reason I can think of is, quite frankly, that there's some people who are talking to him about what he's going to do after his presidency. I hate to think that's it, but I don't know why else he could support this. He knew what was right back then. What is that has disabused him of that notion? Is it the additional jobs we've lost since then due to NAFTA that has led him to think differently? Is it the fact that exactly what he called out as the problem, no unions involved in the negotiations, just the corporate guys? What's changed about that? So unless there's something here that I'm missing, you know, I don't know. I don't know where else to go with that, but that's kind of my analysis of it.
Yeah, I mean, and the only other thing that I think – the only other sort of factor that I think is relevant here is for the pressure to be put on Hillary Clinton to come out and take a definitive stance on this, right? I mean, this is why if there is any way to delay this, which I don't know that there is – but any way to delay this, even like 2 or 3 months in terms of votes, then it becomes almost impossible, right? I mean, because then it becomes impossible for it not to get bound up in presidential politics. I mean, that's why they're doing it now. That's why this is happening right now. Because if this was to happen, if this vote was to happen in September of this year, forget about it, right? I mean, the thing becomes just incredibly it becomes a huge hot potato. And the only thing that gives me any sort of any type of indication as to what's happening on the right is that I'm quite convinced I saw a Dick Morris email talking about how this could prevent the United States from writing its own immigration laws. Now, I don't know if that's the case or not, but who cares, right? I mean, it's like, where's Ted Cruz when you need him?
I just want to make sure you're aware that there are certain contagions that you can catch just from reading a Dick Morris email.
Well, that's why. I didn't open it. I just – I
hope you washed your hands immediately after that and didn't eat within maybe a couple hours, just to make sure.
Well, all right. So there'll be more to say about this as it comes, you know, as we move forward. And it's unclear to me. I mean, I presume what happens now is now that these sort of trade promotion authority bills have cleared both their respective committees, it will go to the floor at one point. I don't know how quickly that will happen, but I guess it just sort of remains to be seen. I mean, I guess they would have to check to make sure that they have the votes. Right. I mean,
yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. So I guess we'll have to see what happens here.
But this is a great time, folks, to call.
If you want to call and say hi to your member of Congress and offer your opinions, it wouldn't be the worst time.
And this is one of those few sort of like occasions, pretty rare occasion, I think, where you could call your Republican and there's an equally compelling argument for the Republican as there is for the Democrat. And maybe in some respects might even be more relevant if you have a Democratic representative to call that person, inevitably that guy, and tell that white guy, hey, you can't possibly be giving President Obama more unilateral authority and giving Hillary Clinton possibly more unilateral authority.
They're going to run some of these products, you know, that they were shipping abroad out of like the MENA airport in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't they know that?
There you go.
Right? I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, there's a reason why Vince Foster had to be dealt with. He knew there could be a free trade agreement within 20 years if Hillary would become president.
There you go. Bingo.
Yeah. They should get on that on the right.
And make sure you say, like, this is like Benghazi times two.
Electric Boogaloo. Sorry, I just throw that in there. Yeah, no, I mean, it's oh my God, this is like a nuclear Benghazi.
This is like
if Benghazi and Iran got together.
Exactly.
And they joined with, you know, Al-Qaeda, you know, al-Baghdadi.
I hope folks realize that
TPP and Farsi.
TPP in Farsi means Benghazi. That's all I can tell you right there.
It's a direct translation.
So let's turn to there's obviously a lot to talk about this week, but let's turn to the Republican presidential sweeps for a bit.
Just because that's a fun thing to talk about.
Well, it's a fun thing to talk about, but there's also been sort of like some big moves this week. I mean, it became clear that at the beginning of the week that the Koch brothers were supporting Scott Walker.
Right.
Then
I feel like he's always been their Manchurian candidate.
I agree totally.
We have no idea how much money was spent in the recall election because some of that didn't. I think there are further reasons why a lot of that didn't have to be disclosed. I don't think we have a clue. I think they picked this guy out, you know, who sort of it doesn't really offend anybody in the Republican coalition because his dad's an evangelical preacher. So he has, he may not be, you know, evangelical, quote unquote, like doesn't talk about those things every day. He would be, that's a good signal to be acceptable to that wing of the party. You know, I honestly think he may be our first actual Manchurian. Well, maybe not, but he is one for them. I'm sure they're supporting him. And yes, I'm sure they'd be happy with Jeb Bush or Marco Rubio or people like that who would do a lot of their bidding too. But I'm positive.
But Scott Walker's totally in their pocket. I mean, yeah, I mean that if there's any doubt, and you know, Digby wrote a piece in Salon saying that, suggesting she thinks that because of what he told Glenn Beck, and we played it on this program, that he was against even legal immigration, that he lost the Koch brothers. I don't think so whatsoever. I mean, just ask yourselves, who else would the Koch brothers want? This is a guy who destroyed the unions in Wisconsin, of all places. He is a guy who does not have the independence that a Jeb Bush would have. From a Koch brothers, right? He's in there. The AFP has worked more closely. The Americans for Prosperity has worked more closely with Scott Walker and the Scott Walker campaign than I would say probably any other politician in the entire country.
Right.
Never mind those who are running for president. He is the perfect candidate for them.
Yeah, I mean, do we even see where the – I mean, I'm sure it seems most of the business Republicans are for immigration reform for the obvious reason. But have they even – the Koch brothers made that a big issue? I still think,
an issue for them, but I think they also know –
lack of environmental regs is the big one for what they produce.
But
you
look,
know? And he's how many people from mentioning – yeah, go ahead.
How many people did the Chamber of Commerce in 2014 support who are against that? Tom Tillis. in North Carolina. I mean,
right.
They are very pro-immigration. That's one of their biggest.
Right, Chamber of Commerce, yes. Obviously,
and
they've
gone
out
and supported anti-immigration. So I don't think – I think this is a strategic thing. The Koch brothers are saying to Walker, or Walker's saying to the Koch brothers, I got to do this because in the past I've held your position, which is toxic in the primary. And you know what? I can see the light. This time next year, I'll have an epiphany, and
right.
I'll be riding in my car, and drive by a gardener and say, "Oh my gosh, wait a second, maybe we should all be immigrant." I mean, it'll be something that he says that he realized. I mean, come on.
We just heard what Obama's speech was on free trade and where he is now. The thing is that. If you have a record that points in one direction, you suddenly make a very quick, statement in a different direction. It's probably safest to assume the person still holds the original position.
Right. I mean, look, if he's got the Koch brothers $900 million behind him, and undoubtedly he's going to have some other big money behind him. I mean, look, after Jeb Bush, who's the next establishment candidate? You know, we were saying
right now, absolutely.
We were saying when Bridgegate first dropped, we were saying that Scott Walker is laughing right now and with a huge smile on his face.
Not just laughing, he was sharing on Facebook, I'm sure.
And the only thing that has changed is Jeb Bush. And frankly, I think people know Jeb Bush. I just don't think he's not a gorilla in this race. He's
not at all. He's overrated. He's not doing even that well in New Hampshire, which should be his. And he's from a northeastern WASPy family. They probably have they're probably related to half of New Hampshire. I mean, seriously, that should be exactly the kind of place he should do great, and he's not.
Yep.
I think, frankly, not only was Scott Walker, again, I've said this in the past, I'll say it again, I think Marco Rubio is a big threat to Bush, because the establishment can live with Rubio, too, if they have to. And so I'd say Scott Walker is first in line, but I'd say if it came down to Rubio or Bush, it'd be Rubio.
Interesting.
I just think Bush is maybe in sixth place, realistically, maybe fifth at best, among the ones who are floating around there. I think he barely gets in ahead of Ted Cruz, quite frankly.
And, again, in terms of like Ted Cruz in the rest of the sort of the nut jobs, my biggest sort of disappointment is that we're not seeing Ted Cruz make a big deal of TPP. I mean,
I agree. And Rand Paul, who's supposed to be Mr. Isolationist and not believe in these kinds of foreign treaties, where the hell is he on this?
Well, I think they just, the money race is just too tight at this point, I think.
No, I know. I mean, I know where the hell he is. And he doesn't really believe in it. He doesn't believe in anything. He believes in being president. There's plenty of other things that a libertarian theoretically would believe. But as I pointed out again and again, he's not a libertarian, but he uses that. He's a states' rightser. He's a neo-Confederate isolationist. He doesn't mind if the state deprives you of all of your rights. He just doesn't want the federal government to do it.
Right.
If Alabama decides that sodomy should be illegal and decides that abortion should be illegal and things like that, he's all for that. So that's not libertarian in the slightest. It's just the fact that he gets away with calling himself that is ridiculous.
So, I guess we will see in the coming weeks where what's happening with the TPP. But this is, this to me is the biggest. I mean, it's the biggest piece of this is going to be the biggest vote that we're going to have seen, I think, in months, if not years, and it will be certainly going forward in terms of progressives, and it's going to be a way of measuring sort of where the Democratic Party is. And hopefully, I swear to God, I mean, if it had occurred to me, I would have done a kickstarted a raise. I don't know how much money you need to rent one of those right wing email lists, but it would be interesting to see.
I don't know why people on our side didn't think of that. I mean, that would be the marketing list for this. Here, let me throw this out there. I'm going to make a prediction. And as you know, we predicted that TPP would come down like this. So we did well on that one. But as everybody here remembers from the Alison Lundgren and Grimes thing, my predictions always come true.
Right.
I predict that if he is smart enough to come out against this and come out strongly, the consolidated anti-establishment candidate will become Mike Huckabee. He has been smart enough to come out against cutting Social Security and Medicare. He realizes that the Club for Growth guys or whatever are going to look at his record when he's in Arkansas, when he actually was a little bit more of a compassionate conservative and raised taxes and did things like that. They're never going to support him with anything. So he's not going to get their support anyhow, which is why he did what he did with Social Security and Medicare, because he's got nothing to lose and everything to gain. If he were smart enough to add this issue to that issue and ran as a true socially conservative, you know, populist, really a populist, you could just say, on all issues, economic and social, I think he could consolidate the Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, you know, anti-establishment support and become that guy. Mm. And he could win Iowa. And remember, you know, I'm not claiming I like the guy. He seems like a jackass to me, like most of them do. But he doesn't go on, for the most part, go in interviews and act like Rand Paul or Ted Cruz. You know, he's by far the most likable of these Republican candidates. There's a reason he did as well as he did in 2008, where he really came pretty close to beating McCain. And that was because he's got the evangelical preacher thing and all of that. He's been on Fox News since then, and he's increased his base. But he can go on Bill Maher and John Stewart, and he can sit there and almost charm them a little bit, which none of these other guys can do. I'm just saying, if he were smart and he were to come out massively against TPP, there could be a problem for a lot of those other Republicans. So,
you know, it's interesting because the sense I have gotten is that he has not been pushing his populist bona fides in the way that he did in 08. I mean, in 08, that was all you heard from him. And the sort of the God Squad stuff came second. I feel like this time around, he is basically trying to sort of scoop up some of those sort of, because Santorum seems to be now focusing on foreign policy this go around. And so it feels like Huckabee's trying to
one-line platform, just nuke Iran.
Right. Well, I mean, I think Huckabee is trying to scoop up the Santorum Bachman sort of crowd. And because, you know, we were listening to audio of him today talking about, he was saying all sorts of crazy anti-gay stuff. But you're right. And what would be really interesting to see is if he came out strong on this TPP thing, if it then started to undercut Ted Cruz and Ted Cruz felt like he had to come out. Yep. But, you know, it's almost like that ship has sailed because, you know, this the trade authority, the TPA, which is like, you know, sort of the fast track bill, would have been the one for Cruz to come out on. Like, I'm totally for trade. I believe in whatever it is, you know, corporate dump.
It gets into such of the psyche and the fear on the right. That is the smart play for any one of these guys.
Yeah.
To also talk to their donors, what you were saying about Scott Walker and his epiphany. Say, I'll have an epiphany on trade in a year, and maybe I will on Social Security too. My God, with the older, whiter male segment, which really, you know, the Bill O'Reilly demographic that really is who turns out in that and votes in those primaries, and my God, the caucus, which is like the most conservative of the conservative in Iowa. I mean, that's the smart play.
Do you think Huckabee's even running for president?
I'm not sure that's the thing. I'm not sure he's running for president, and I'm not sure he's smart enough to do this. If he were, this would be the easy play for him.
If he was actually running for president, I agree with you. I just get the sense that what he's doing is trying to, you know, list build and, you know, have a speaking tour and maybe get back on Fox.
Sell some more books. Yep. And you know, I mean, the info on him, the 411 on Huckabee, is that when he left the governor's mansion in Arkansas, anything that wasn't nailed to the floor, they took with them.
Yeah.
Seriously. They got in trouble for taking furniture out of there. So this is a guy that has lost his way in terms of what he's supposed to have learned as a good Christian, and he seems to like worldly possessions a whole lot. So I wouldn't be surprised if you're right that this is, I mean, I've thought about that, you know, whether he was going to really run this time. I think maybe get yourself a better slot on Fox, get yourself some more money for your next books, raise the speaking fees a little bit. So, yes, if he's really running for president, the TPP thing is such the obvious play for him. I think Santorum, Cruz, and all these other guys would have to follow him. He'd be the leader there, and he could galvanize, I think, a combination of evangelicals and Tea Party support against the establishment, and frankly could overcome the money disparity because there are probably some Tea Party folks with some money he could raise. But luckily for us, he's probably either not running for presidency or he's not that smart, so he may not do it.
Cliff Schechter, always a pleasure, buddy.
My pleasure too, Sam. You have yourself a great week.
Okay, talk to you next week.
Bye.
Big boo. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the wonderful Isabel Gillies with her movie pick of the week. We'll be right back after this. We are back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce to you this theme song.
Today is Casual Friday. Let us welcome Isabel Gillies to the show. She's going to recommend a movie or two to watch on Netflix. It's the only way I know.
Listen to the picks from Isabel.
IsabelGillies.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the spokesperson for IsabelGillies.com, Isabel Gillies. Hello, Isabel.
Hello.
How are
you? Hello on this Friday.
Yeah, you sound like you're ready for the weekend.
Are you saying I sound tired?
No, you sound like you're I don't know, you sound like you're pumped up for it.
It's spring. It's,
it's freezing.
Football season has started, for the kids. Flag football. We go out, Friday night lights,
Are you going out to a flag football game tonight?
That's right. Ready for this time?
Yeah.
8:45 p.m.
What?
Woo!
How old are your kids?
13.
Are they allowed to stay 13. Up that late? How late do you stay? Your kids stay up to?
Well, no, I'm very big on sleep, so they go to bed at 8:30. But this is special Friday Night Lights that only happens in the spring.
Matt is shocked that your kids go to bed at 8:30.
Well, they get in bed at 8:30, and then they can read.
That's exactly
sleep
what...
Sleep is the biggest important thing of raising kids.
That's what Mila does, too, supposedly, theoretically.
This sleep thing is no joke. Hey. And this whole... Today, I'm on fire. I'm on fire about health. So sleep is just going to fit right into that.
All right. Well...
It's my movie. It's the movie I'm recommending.
Oh, all right. Well, you're getting ahead of yourself a little bit. I got to say,
I'm
exhausted.
No, I know. We don't have to go there right now. But the sleep fit into it a little bit.
I just had somebody on Twitter say I look horrible.
What?
Yeah. which I think is true. I am exhausted, and I didn't wear a collared shirt today. My hair is as shaggy as it's been. I didn't shave.
Well, why are you letting yourself go, Sam?
I'm just tired. It's Friday. That's the way it basically would. That's what I was going to say. Like, you sound like you're ready to bust down the doors of the weekend. And for me, when I get to the weekend, I'm just like stumbling over the line. Just sort of like ready to collapse. Like,
well,
I just ran a marathon, I feel like.
Here's a tip.
Of course, I don't run or do marathons or do any exercise.
Oh, God. Well, listen, here's the thing.
Yeah.
First of all, put on a collared shirt. You know,
I do a collared shirt every day of the week. In fact, I rarely even wear a T-shirt on Fridays. Usually I do a soft collared shirt. But now that we're moving into spring, I'm starting to feel like maybe I should start the week with a soft collared shirt and just end with a T-shirt.
Here's my proposal.
Yeah.
Take all of your soft collared, the non-collared shirts, the mm-hmm. T-shirts, and either put them in the drawer that says, wear these only when exercising, or give them away.
Wow.
Because you know what? A man who is over the age of 18 mm-hmm. should not be in a T-shirt, in my opinion, unless mm-hmm. you are playing tennis or
Excuse
running.
Wow. Isabel.
Agreed.
Wow. Disagree.
Agreed.
It's unattractive.
What?
It looks slovenly.
Slovenly?
And you know what? Just put on one with a collar. Then you look handsome. Mm, you look ready to do something important. It's just a make it or break it thing.
Wow. All right.
I feel strongly about it.
I guess so.
I think Isabel's absolutely right.
I don't know why you've waited all this time to give me that advice. I mean, I've known you now.
Usually you're in a collared shirt.
I've known you for 20 years, and I can tell you, back in the day, I did not wear collared shirts. The whole collared shirt thing was something like I didn't institute until like 10, 15 years ago.
Well,
12 years ago. The first
like,
8 years
that you knew me. I hold the same view with my husband and with my male children.
Yeah, but your kids are not over 18.
No, I still think that they look better in a collar and they go to school. I say, throw on a collar.
All right.
Wow. You know, because it just looks better.
It's like this fascist side of you I never saw before.
Put on the collar.
It's like sweatpants on a man. Oh dear.
That I would.
That I agree with you.
That I would. Yes.
You know, if Matt agrees with you on sweatpants, then you just got to know how disgusting that is. What happened to air travel? Every time you go on an airplane now, everybody's wearing sweatpants.
It's
grotesque. Go off on that, Isabel. Let her go.
Do you know that when I was a child, it was such a treat.
I was going to mock this whole this thing. But
we wore our best dress.
On the airline.
And ready for this? Here's one more
I should tell people to explain. Isabel is 82 years old.
I remember when the first Pan Am flight.
Listen, I have something more. I'm ready for this.
Yeah.
Here's the worst.
Hey, wait a minute.
I went to the theater the other night. Okay, you spend so much money on a theater ticket. It is
hundreds of
dollars to go to the theater. Okay, so you do it once in a while, and then you go. And people are dressed as if they're going to go out to the Mexican place around the corner. I honestly was like, what is going on? Everybody's dressed in just like you're not something
special.
Well,
now, wait a second. Did you go to – what? Now, tell me where did you go. Because like when Mila and I go to the ballet, which we do about maybe 2 or 3 times a year –
love that.
We both, you know, I put on a sport jacket. I'll even wear, she insists I wear nice pants.
Yes.
Like I won't even wear, it's literally, there are probably 5 days a year where I'm not wearing some variant of my Carhartt pants. And those 2 or 3 of them are that at night. Cause like
at the ballet.
At the ballet, I'll wear like a pair of slacks. as we used to call them.
As well you should.
Right, of course. But
these
I have
people
gone,
have rehearsed, they've tried, and then you're sitting there, and then you see these people.
It's not
been,
like going to a movie, in other words, you're saying, because
no. You
need to pay a certain amount of respect to the live actors who are on stage.
And to the experience and to the – I don't – it's like, are you so cool that you don't dress up to go to the theater? Are you just like above the decorum, I guess?
Well, I mean, are you going to a Broadway show?
Yeah.
Because it's the tourists, too. You realize that, right? I mean, it's the tourists.
Yeah, I guess.
Because they're wearing the sweatpants onto the plane. They're coming in, and they're like, their sweatpants is taking up too much space in their luggage
bag,
and they wear it to the thing because they've got to go out. You know, I don't know.
I'm getting my most comfortable pair of sweatpants. We're going up to New York City. I want to go see that giant Applebee's in that Times Square they got.
That's
and there's
right.
also crossdressers too, and then we'll take in a play.
Right.
I need an extra pair of.
What play did you see? What did you see?
The last one I went to, I took the children to Les Miserables.
Oh, okay.
Because they were studying the French Revolution, they're into it. We saw the movie. They love all the music, and it was great. And the Times panned it, which infuriated me.
Were they were the kids a little bit disappointed? Like, why is everyone so casual here, Mom? And then did you shush them?
No.
Like, quiet. We don't say
no,
that.
No, they were captivated.
Children.
They were captivated. I sobbed the whole time.
Did you say to your children, children are to be seen but not heard?
I have said that. But I'll tell you something.
Wow.
I said in the morning, I said, look, guys, we're going to the theater. This is big time. This is your Christmas present. Let's put on a collared shirt. Let's, you know, you can even rock a tie if you want.
And what did they say? Nothing.
They said,
I'm good.
No, they said, sure, Mom, of course.
Really?
Oh, yeah. If they had said anything else, I would have been like, well, then we're not going.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Look, what are you going to do? You have to. This is the world. You have to get dressed for it. I'm not saying that you can't, you know, like do your homework in your sweats. But come on, we're going to the theater. What do you think? I just spend that much money and we're just going to like schlump out of here? No way,
schlump
Jose.
Schlump out of here?
Let's have some decorum.
Did you take a limo down there?
No, we took the one train.
All right.
It's all about public transportation and throwing on a collar.
Let me ask you this. When you're on the subway and you're headed to the theater with your sons who are in their smart gear,
yeah.
Do you take out a hanky to hold the post that you're holding
no.
on to as you ride down? Like, do you take?
I don't have germophobia. No, but I do take note of the new courtesy campaign on the subways, and I say that's right. I love that campaign.
Do you wear a parasol?
Listen, if I had a parasol, I might use it.
Is a parasol like the little umbrella? Is that what it is? Or is
mm-hmm.
what I'm talking about?
To block you from the sun. It's actually smart.
No, I know. I'm just curious. I'm just trying to get a sense of what it's like.
It's an important piece of Wimbledon gear, Sam.
I watch
a lot of tennis, and I notice those.
It's funny, but now when I think about you now, it's like a Seurat painting. It's like going to the park, and you've got like the big sort of dress on that. And your kids are dressed in their suits, their Sunday afternoon suits to play in the park.
Sunday in the park with George. I know. Well, I'm just saying, we can just amp it up a little bit. You know what? It ties so perfectly in with my movie.
Let's get there in just 1 minute, because there's one other thing I wanted to bring up.
Oh, what?
I just saw that you had a wolf on the Upper West Side.
A coyote.
A coyote, I should say. Right. What's going on?
Oh, listen, I'm so glad you brought it up. I was wondering if you'd already talked about it. There are coyotes in Riverside Park, and it's because, which is, every morning I wake up to, it sounds like, you know, it's helicopters looking for the coyote. And there are multiple coyotes now. And it's because it's so overcrowded in their natural habitats that they have to come down the Hudson River and then they go in the park.
What do? They swim across? They swim across?
They come down on train tracks. On the Amtrak goes right up the Hudson.
Right. So they and go they right come across down, that bridge.
Right. They come right down from, you know, upstate. Mm-hmm. They're in New Jersey. And a coyote is not going to hurt. The coyote has as much chance of killing you as a vending machine does. It's not going to kill you, unless maybe it's rabid. But on the other hand, coyotes will eat anything.
Right.
They're vicious. But I feel sorry for the coyote. What if he gets hurt? What if he gets, you know, hit by a car on Riverside Drive or something? It's a whole thing.
Yeah. Well, I was just curious. So you're getting a lot of police activity up there, and you go out. Do you go? Have you joined like some type of neighborhood
coyote watch?
Coyote watch.
I was interviewed
Guardian
this morning as
angels?
I walked our dog just a couple hours ago, and I was interviewed by a Columbia journalism student about the coyote.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Isabel, before you get to the film. Let me ask you this. The Guardian Angels, you grew up in New York City. Like, how much of the Guardian Angels a part of your experience? I don't know. I just don't want to ask that because I just was just it's a weird question, but it just occurred
to me. The motorcycle people?
Those are the
Hell's Angels, yeah.
Those are the Hell's Angels.
Oh, Hell's Angels.
Guardian Angels are the ones who
the people that
the
walked around patrolling the streets?
Yeah, with the red berets.
Yeah, yeah, and the white T-shirt, right?
Right.
Oh, my God, it's all coming back. Woo! I haven't thought about those guys. I feel like it was sort of a benevolent, good, grassroots
all right,
protection
so no thoughts.
Thing,
no
right?
thoughts on it. In other words, no thoughts on it. I was just curious.
I did
it just
have
occurred to me.
On
I
it.
Just wanted to know if you wanted to go out, if you were going to go out and do that with the coyote.
Oh, the coyote?
Yeah.
God, what happened to the Guardian Angels?
Well, Curtis Lee still dresses up in his outfit when he does a commercial for God knows what on picks,
red
television.
Berets, yeah. And green, and then it had a white T-shirt with red angel wings on the back, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get to the film. What is it?
Coyotes. What if I saw that coyote? I'd be kind of psyched.
I saw
a hawk this morning.
Wow.
Okay, I saw a hawk in the park.
Okay.
You know how, because I was really thinking about what I've been watching lately. I've been watching Wolf Hall on PBS, which...
Never even heard of it.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, I didn't think that you would be so into the Tudors, to Tudor England,
don't
in the same way
that
I am. Thomas Cromwell, Anne Boleyn, Henry VIII. I am so deep in.
I don't follow what's going on in Hollywood at all.
Do you put on a smart outfit to watch that, even in the comfort of your own apartment?
No, because that is at 9 o'clock on Sunday night.
Okay.
So I'm in my pajamas.
Smart pajamas.
That's fair enough because I'm in the privacy of my
You're
own.
You're starched. Home. You're starched pajamas.
Ironed, well ironed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you iron your sheets?
No, but I wish I did.
Okay.
I have ironed sheets.
I did that.
Wow.
Yep.
I have. It's soothing to iron sheets. Mm. Okay.
Yes.
So I didn't think you'd be into that. And so the other kind of OCD thing I've been doing is watching this show also on Netflix called Mind of the Chef. And it's Anthony Bourdain produces, and he interviews chefs, and it's David Chang and all these different chefs, and it's a lot about farm to table and going into the culture and all that stuff. And I watch, they're 20 minutes, and I watch one every night as sort of it soothes me. And I was thinking, God, that is really what I've been watching. But then I thought, I can't really recommend that because, you know, it's only 20 minutes and I better do a movie. And then I thought of this movie that I do think is important to recommend. And it is this movie called Fed Up.
Fed Up. Oh, that's a new one, isn't it? I've heard of that.
Yes. It's a documentary about obesity in this country, which is, you know, a huge epidemic, right? And it's Katie Couric produced it. And it's all about, and then I was like, oh, great, Majority Report, it's perfect. Because it's really politics, right? It's all about public health versus,
right,
you know, big industry, you know, promoting agriculture.
Financed corn so much. Corn. We've subsidized corn so much, it's in every product, and it's just...
It's in every product, it's sugar. And right, sugar is poison. Sugar is flat-out poison. And it's in everything, and it's killing us. And this film,
I'm literally watching Matt just drink like a mixture of like Arizona iced tea and Coca-Cola.
But see, like, but that honestly, like that is killing us. That is like eating something like 30 tablespoons of sugar.
That's what he had to put down the Arizona and the Coke to eat was basically like a sugar filled. The guy has, you know what he has for breakfast? Rice Krispie treats.
Who's this?
Matt.
Matt.
The T-shirt.
Matt.
He's wearing a T-shirt, shoving Rice Krispie treats down his mouth and washing it down with Coca-Cola and Arizona tea, like mixing both in his mouth at the same time.
But for someone who's so political, Matt, honestly, you are right now the puppet of the Republican, like, party and big industry. They're all like, oh, the government can't tell us what to do, what to eat. The parents have to, and you know what? Meanwhile, if you think about smoking, it's a great, in this movie, we as a country did a great job with smoking.
Right.
And that's what has to happen to food. Because right now you have, you know, Sarah Palin drinking the big gulp saying, don't you tell me what to eat. And our children are absolutely dying early because of this huge epidemic. And it's not even people who look fat. You can be obese inside, right? Because
it's
of all this sugar.
Skinny fat. I interviewed that guy, Robert Lustig, I think his name
is. Wait, do I have that?
Probably.
I feel like I might have that.
Definitely. Because you don't exercise.
Oh, my God.
But this is another interesting thing. You know the Michelle Obama Move campaign, and the whole sort of rhetoric is just get going, you fat people. Just move. If you're lazy, stop watching TV. You know, get out and run. That's not it.
No.
That is not it. So she, in all due respect to Mrs. Obama, her whole campaign is off target.
Whoa.
She's like, we're not going to demonize any industry here. We're just going to get people to move. But what you have to do is you do have to demonize the industry, just as you had to demonize the big tobacco companies. It's the exact same thing. And these kids are, and adults, all of us, but it starts with kids because they start, you know, formula has sugar in it.
Yeah, so I don't need we don't have a lot of sugar in our household. We don't try not to eat that much processed food.
Right, because you're very well educated and all that stuff and wellness in schools. And I mean, Jamie Oliver, do you know Jamie Oliver?
The British guy. Didn't he have a show on?
But he's gone on a health
food
campaign.
Revolution.
Yeah.
The food revolution. It's a great, great show, and that's all about changing the food in the schools, which is an incredibly huge problem because all these big fast food companies. It's a cash cow.
I mean,
cash cow.
Of course.
For these schools.
Well, I mean, just look at Matt over here. It's unbelievable. The guy, he's just like he washes down his sugar with more refined sugar.
It's my one thing.
No, but
Matt, it's not. You're doing it all day long.
That's right.
Because most of America is
straight edge.
I don't smoke, I don't do drugs, I don't drink alcohol, I don't drink coffee, none of the normal vices.
But he still is getting, he goes basically, gets like black market 64-ounce Slurpees.
Honestly, if you had like a cigarette a day and you evened your diet out, you would be better off than eating that garbage all day.
That's right.
Definitely. It's not even disputable,
I know
about that.
But I don't know what a cigarette a day won't satisfy you, believe me.
Matt, can you cook? Can you cook?
No, I cannot at all.
Okay, okay. This is what I'm going to say. I'm going to recommend this movie to you guys and everybody out there, And it's not. It's Michael Pollan. It's Mark Bittman. Senator Tom Wonderful from
Tom Wonderful.
I'm having the
Harkin from Iowa.
Harkin. Thank you. He's been doing this for 30 years, and he's marvelous on the subject, and it's a great movie, and there's a challenge to it, right? So at the end, it's like you have to take the Fed Up challenge, and you know, for someone like me who cooks constantly every day, all day, and I'm like obsessed with food and you know, balance, blah blah blah. Like it's sort of preaching to the converted. But for someone like you, Matt, it would be so great if you did it on the show. You should do it. Take the Fed Up challenge, because I'm sure you can't cook, and you should, and you gotta stop drinking all that stuff. If you could do it for 10 days,
I have very little patience for cooking. It's like the one thing I just can't like. Set my mind.
It
to.
Would change your life. Maybe we could peg some type of additional Indiegogo campaign around Matt getting sugar free for 10 days.
Yes, for ten days.
Some type of challenge.
Like, you know, I'm afraid if Matt went sugar free for 10 days, he'd die.
Cooking for me is heating up like a thing of water and pouring it into one of those.
They call it boiling
cups.
Water.
Yeah. Boiling up in the microwave, not on the stove.
Oh my God. But
okay, let's do it. It's April 24th. Matt, do you have time to watch Fed Up today?
Today, maybe.
It's free on Netflix.
I'll definitely watch it. I'll definitely watch it probably this weekend. I don't know about today.
Okay, so then you do the Fed Up challenge.
I can tell you what is right in front of him as he's watching that movie. I can tell you what is in front. A big gulp, a Rice Krispie treat, some type of like packaged like Cinnabon that he got.
You're naming
at the
too
bodega.
Many name brands. Like right. Matt orders
at home,
the
I usually
like,
don't buy. The, I don't have.
I'm
the,
just saying some type of.
Right.
I don't bring a big gulp to the house. I just buy a 2 liter. It's cheaper, and I just keep it on the table.
There you go.
Dude, it is poison. It's like honestly watching you in this poison. Office every day is like watching a slow suicide.
It's okay.
It is.
Oh my God.
All right. Well. Matt, you're
no,
have to
I'm serious, but it's enjoyable too. And you know what? Here's the great thing also. Watch it with Myla.
Well, why would Matt watch it with my daughter?
No, everybody has to watch it. It's really good and it's entertaining and Myla will be so into it and it's like the biggest problem we have, really, because guess what? In like 20 years, one out of every three people, I forgot the statistic and I didn't write it down, will be obese and unable to perform any kind of physical activity like being a first responder, being
in
the army.
What? I'm in great shape, so yes. I'm okay.
Yeah.
You might be one of the
Matt's
skinny
blinded.
Obese people, Matt.
He's blinded by his youth. That's what it is. All
but
right, well,
so
I'm going to watch it.
You're
with...
doing like you're like being Sarah Palin's best friend right now by drinking that shit.
Oh no, right. I didn't think there was anything wrong with like, you know,
he hangs out with like,
banning whatever to make people. I don't know. I had no problem with that. I actually do not drink the big gulps. Those are way too big. I'm being humor. I'm being funny here.
I
probably have like a can or two, maybe three cans a day.
You eat a horrific diet.
Three cans a day of soda.
Three cans a day of soda.
That's insane.
Oh, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Are you serious?
Yeah, of course he's serious.
That's really?
Yeah.
Real? No bullshit?
Probably.
Wow.
Can we do this, Matt?
Dude,
Matt.
You gotta stop.
Can we do this? Will you do the Fed Up challenge?
I think
will
Isabel,
you do it?
Isabel,
I'll
I think,
watch the movie and I'll think about
Isabel,
it.
Isabel, I think
I'll
you might need to taper off. I don't like, you can't
the,
have
do they have
like,
any type of device that we can attach to Matt to make sure that he's doing like some type of collar or something like that?
Let's put it this way.
Is there a Wemo or something like that that we can put around his neck? And like we
can we electric shock him remotely every time he reaches for a
soda? If I go
soda?
Long enough without soda, I start to like twitch and I like start to like, you
there's
know.
No doubt in my mind.
Well, doesn't no that doubt kind of tell
I'll,
you
I'll
what you need to know?
I'll personally send you a bunch of lemons and limes and tangerines and you can squeeze them into
do
your
it.
Water.
I could buy a Minute Maid lemonade. I'm good there.
Not Minute Maid, a real lemon.
I know, I got it. I know. I'm just being
okay. I'm serious, Matt. I'm serious. And let's all do it.
Let's all send Matt lemons.
I'll bring you a lemon. I'll pick up an extra lemon when I go to Whole Foods for you.
Oh, okay. You can only get your lemons. It's the only place you can buy lemons is at Whole Foods.
Yeah, that's it. Just Whole Foods. That's it.
Yeah.
All right, Isabel, we're going to work on them. So the next time you get here, maybe we'll see. Maybe we can start with baby steps. Because I would imagine there has not been a – there has not been – I would guess there has not been a two-day period in Matt's certainly adult life. But I would bet since you've been like 15, there has not been a two-day period where you've gone without a can of soda.
Did your parents take you to fast food when you were a kid?
Oh, all the time.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Matt, you are the poster child for this. People who are listening to the Majority Report right now, we love Matt. Let's help him.
Let's not get carried away.
Join me on Twitter.
It's people's lack of love that are making
Let's
them intrigued
just do it.
By this
Let's
experiment.
Just do it out of, like, you know, just a general political
experiment.
Let's not have to peg it to some type of love of Matt. That's a good one. That's
well, Matt, I'm serious. I'm absolutely authentic in my, you know, let's do it. I don't really drink soda, so I would say I would do it with you.
I love how she says that. Like, I don't really, I actually am eating probably better than Michael Pollan right now. So there's really nothing for me to change.
Yeah, but this has been my, like, adult life's work, kind of, except that I mean, personal work in my home, except that I'm not perfect.
That's the thing, I think that, like, when you, in this day and age, like, I eat much better because of my kids. Because you're just like, I mean, and first off, like, you know, like, I remember seeing kids getting, you know, Coca-Cola at age 3. And I'm just like, I just remember saying to Nikki, like, why in the world would you introduce that to your kid? Because A, they don't know about soda. So right. You could just get away with just giving them water all the time.
For years.
You got to give them milk, but you give them water all the time. Because A, just from a cost saving standpoint. Like,
I gotta tell
you, it's just cheaper.
I gotta tell you.
But here's the thing: the industry is everywhere. They do know about it. They do know about Coke from a very early age. No matter what you're doing, they know about it.
Mila didn't even find out about soda until like later, and then she was like, she loves it. And now,
well, as soon as she's exposed to mass media, I think that's the point Isabel's trying to make.
Yeah,
but the thing is, you have them watch Netflix, you know. Right. Pretty soon there's
no
commercials.
That's true.
You
can completely sort of different media environment. Yeah.
Definitely.
Right, but she's getting raised by these educated lefty people in Brooklyn, but the most of the world isn't. And you know, it's
that's
not
right.
Just our country. And Bill Clinton's in this movie and
when she was young, we lived in Chelsea.
But listen, they are exposed. And my kid, there's also, here's the other thing. Sometimes when the kids are like, can we have a Coke? Sometimes I'm like, yeah, because it's so fun.
Oh, sure.
Because we've been trained how fun it is to drink a Coke, because Coke is it, the biggest taste you've ever found. Coke is it. You know, that's from the 70s
I still remember that. I mean, I occasionally let Mila have a ginger ale at a party.
I got to tell you this. I grew up, you know, my parents strict about pretty much nothing else, but they were incredibly strict about food and diet and health. And when I was about 8 or 9, I remember my mom, we were on a trip or something, and I think my dad would have never done this. He was very fanatical. But she got a Sprite for us to split. And I literally had never drank anything like that before. And as soon as that, I looked at her and I was like, do these cost like $100 a can? Because this is so amazing. How are we not having this every day?
Sprite's not that good.
Oh, that was for me. That was an otherworldly experience. I was like, I can never go back to the brown rice and seaweed the same way again.
But see, I'm not just a Coca-Cola drinker. I'm like a soda connoisseur. I drink sodas from all over the world. You know, Inca Kola from Peru, Colombiana from Colombia. It's a delicacy. It's like, you know, when Michael over here goes to a wine bar and tries all his wines out. I enjoy the finer sodas.
So while I'm trying out a new type of yoga, you're trying out a new type of
soda.
Of soda.
Yeah, we're going to do it. And, you know, it's true. Here's the other thing. I have a Big Mac when I drive to Maine, I have two Big Macs a year.
Wow!
because when I'm in the car and I drive to Maine, when I eat that thing, it is the best. It is the most delicious. I can't get over how delicious
it is. I'm going to get
one
right now.
I know, that's why I have two a day. All right.
Well, you guys know about the corridor in New Jersey where they build the scent. Basically, these foods and drinks have like no actual taste in them, so it's all flavoring based.
Oh.
So there's this loop, this corridor in New Jersey. I read about it in Fast Food Nation where they literally – you can go and smell like, oh, that's a Big Mac. That's a strawberry shake. That's a cherry Coke.
And it's just – they're not even there. It's just the smell.
It's just the smell. That's fantastic. Most of your taste buds are smell-based anyway.
It's about –
what are we going to take away, though? Matt, I need like a tweet. I need something to say,
We're going to incentivize Matt. Matt, I'm going to dock you.
No, yes. You're not supposed to give me money if I do this.
5% of your pay for every day that you don't avoid these foods. And I'm doing it for your own good, buddy. And this is going to be ongoing from now on. This is not like a – there's no finite period to this.
It's a political action. That's
yes.
the thing is that it's
you know
a political
what?
Action for
this
you to
is for
do
Matt.
It.
10%. 10% I'm going to dock your pay. Any day that you break from this, you just won't get 10% that
day. I'm going to be working for free after like a week.
Well, listen, I hope not for your sake. But if that's what we have to do,
that's
what we have to do.
Start by watching this movie. Start – everybody, start by watching this movie. And then see what you do.
All right. And can we just get one clarification? After 10 days, and Matt's not getting paid anything for the month, should he start paying me 10% of his salary? I think this is going to be healthy for one of us. Isabel Gillies, always a pleasure.
It's a pleasure's all mine.
Fed up. We'll all watch it. I'm going to watch it.
Please, everybody. Yes. Okay, have a good weekend, and put on a collared shirt for goodness sake.
I will. I'm never going to do this again with the T-shirt. I'm done with it. All right.
Yeah, it's a low moment.
The T-shirt
All right.
thing I can't get on. Right, that's a for sure.
Bye.
Okay.
Sure.
Bye.
That's a for sure.
All right. We're going to do a Freebie Friday again.
These motherfuckers.
Jeez. God. I mean... At least we figured out how we can – we're not even – all we need is basically Matt to just keep eating soda, and then the show is going to soon support itself.
Eating soda.
Eating, drinking soda.
Everybody does this. You've got eating soda. He's got look, put water – what is it? I take the water thing.
Within like 10, 12 days, Matt's going to be the sole support for this program. He's just He's going to owe so much money.
This episode of the Madonna Report is brought to you by me and my love of cola. I guess you should be thanking me now, boy.
In the event that Matt somehow manages to weasel out of his commitment to not to get docked by 10% of his pay or to pay 10% into this program of his pay, every day he drinks a can of soda. You still can support the show by becoming a member at majority.fm. It's jointhemajorityreport.com or just majority.fm. Become a member today. Pennies a day, folks. Less than what Matt pays for soda. I mean, Matt, if you stop drinking soda, you could actually, I think, like get – if you stop drinking soda, that would be the equivalent. You could actually probably support – 7 different memberships to the Majority Report a day. That's how cheap it is to become a member of the Majority Report, how expensive it is. And that's not even the externalities that you're imposing on the rest of us with your diabetes that you're going to get or your interior fat, your skinny fatness or whatever it is.
Just all of the environmental and social pollution.
You should see me running from the subway to the railroad every day.
Yes. Also,
you should see that 3-minute run.
I get there in like 45 seconds flat.
And for those of you.
I moved with you, buddy. I don't know.
Who want to drink your coffee without sugar, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. 10% off. Use the coupon code MAJORITY. It's free shipping this month just for a couple more days at justcoffee.coop. COOP. And if you buy crap from Amazon, buy it through our link at majorityreportkickback.com. The number, if you want to be a part of the program today, is – no, we're going to do a Freebie Friday, 646-257-3920. We don't have too much left in the show. There you go. But we'll go to the IMs in just a moment.
You are currently caller number 2, waiting to speak with a representative. Somebody is
waiting for
us. Thank you for your patience.
We will go right to your calls since you have been so patient. You're calling from a 570 number. Who's this?
This is Jim from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Okay.
Hi, Jim.
I got a little question.
Jim?
Yes?
Okay, what's your question?
Yes, I had a question about what was discussed yesterday, Obama's speech regarding the deaths of Warren Weinstein and Giovanni LaPorta, where he came out and said he takes full responsibility. I just wanted to ask Sam if he actually believes that bullshit.
If I believe that President Obama takes responsibility for it?
Yeah. Do you really think he's kidding? Do you think he's actually going to take some steps to make improvements? Or you realize, I mean, come on, Tim, you got to be a smart person. You realize that he's just trying to do damage control, and next week there'll be more innocents killed by the drones?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. In fact, you know, in 2013... when he claimed that the administration was going to make sure that their drone attacks would not be launched unless they were sure who they were hitting, it is the case that the number of attacks went down fairly significantly, but they obviously have not gotten to the point where they know, well, obviously we're not 100% surety, but they, I would imagine, even with even far less than that, who it is that they're hitting.
Also, just to add, that this strike, as far as I understand, was part of a program where he did not even sign off on this. This is a CIA autonomous.
Right. There are two. There were two different strikes here. This was not even supposed to be part of the targeted assassination regime, even though. Two American citizens, aside from Weinstein, who was a hostage, who was killed, were killed.
Rate the outrage over this. I mean, come on. If this had happened under a Republican president, you guys would be livid.
I'm livid.
It's disgusting.
You seem to be, again, you seem to be treating Obama with kid gloves on this when you would be more outrage that happened over a Republican president. So I just want to know, how much longer are you going to stand up for this? Why don't you man up and just say it? Say Obama is a war criminal.
I mean, I don't know that he's a war criminal, but it's...
If this stuff was happening under a Republican president, he would be out to do that. He would be, like I said, he would be raging, but you're giving Obama a slide. Say it. Say Obama is a war criminal. Say he's as bad as Bush.
Well, I don't think he's as bad as Bush. No, I don't think he's as bad as Bush.
Say you goddamn coward.
Say you goddamn coward. I'm sorry, I got carried away.
Wait a second. Hold on for a second, Jim. How many innocent civilians were killed in the Iraq war? Let's just use U.S. Defense Department numbers.
I know what you're
saying,
Jim.
Don't be a coward. Tell me. Don't be a coward. Say it. Say it.
It doesn't matter how many people are killed.
Say it. Oh, it doesn't.
It doesn't matter the number that's killed. And innocent people dying is still innocent people dying. But I remember you're the guy who said.
Okay. Well, now wait a second. All right. Now hold on for a second.
You're the guy who said you vote for the guy who built 9 concentration camps instead of 10.
That's right.
But yes, it's okay when innocent people die as long as there are less.
Right.
People dying.
Wait a second, Jim. Name for me the U.S. president in the history of U.S. presidents who is not a war criminal.
I can't think there are any U.S. presidents who have not done some war crimes in their lives.
Right. Okay, name for me when you think we're going to have a president of this country who, by your definition, is not a war criminal.
That's going to remain to be seen.
Okay, but give me your best guess, Jim. Don't be a coward about this. Man up to it. Do you think that if Rand Paul gets in or Gary Johnson somehow runs in this race, that he's not going to be a war criminal?
Well, Rand Paul is a goddamn hypocrite. I don't think.
Okay, well then tell me who out there who's going to get elected to the presidency is not going to be a war criminal.
I don't know at the moment.
All right, so what are you going to do about it, Jim? What are you going to do? You going to renounce your U.S. citizenship?
Oh, I'm going to keep looking for someone who will.
Okay, now wait a second. In the meantime, what's going to happen? Because somebody's going to get elected president in 2 years, and somebody's going to get elected president in 6 years, and then in 10 years, and then so on and so on. So at what point are you going to do something? Are you going to renounce your citizenship? Are you going to stop paying taxes? I mean, because I'm curious, Jim, the space where you live, where you are so morally righteous that the killing of hundreds of thousands is the same as the killing of several thousands. I'm not saying that we should allow for either. But the fact of the matter is, Jim, the reality is that this is going to continue. And to somehow say, like, it's all going to be solved if I say Obama's a war criminal. Okay, Obama's a war criminal. Now we both feel so good about ourselves, don't we? Now we don't have to do anything. Now what we can do is we can just say, I'm not going to vote for anybody, or I'm going to pretend there's some candidate out there who it doesn't make a difference. Doesn't make a difference if one person's going to invade five countries or one person's going to invade one country. I mean, come on.
Come on.
Come on, you say. Enjoy living in your little holier-than-thou world, Sam.
Look who's talking. I'm surprised that you can even afford to make this phone call. You're living in a country that is a place that is so holier than the rest of us.
You definitely, you goddamn hypocrite.
What do you mean? What am I a hypocrite about?
I told you, pulling punches on Obama when you would be outraged when this is happening, more outraged if this happened under a Republican president.
If there was a Republican president who engaged in the same activities as Obama, and that was and had a drone program. You're saying that my outrage would be far greater than Obama's, than it is now.
I'd say so, yeah.
Where are you seeing substantially more coverage of this drone program than on this program?
I'm using magazine. And Glenn Greenwald and The Guardian.
Glenn Greenwald's not even at The Guardian anymore.
Okay, well, Glenn Greenwald and The Guardian separately.
Yeah, well, Glenn's been on this program many times. I'm not sure of it, but I'm fairly convinced that if I didn't give him his first national media coverage of anyone in the country, it was pretty close.
I give up, Sam. You want to keep supporting what you consider to be the lesser of two evils and just...
I always want to support the lesser of two evils. If I have two choices and one is less evil, I will choose the less evil choice. Yes.
All right. And I will call the Weinstein family and the Lopalo family and the Alawaki family and say you want people to support the man who murdered their loved ones.
Okay.
How would you like that? How would you like that?
If you could get the phone number, that would be pretty amazing.
Wait a second. Wait. It's okay. So, what is going to happen when you do that? You're going to make them feel better? What's the goal here?
The more people know what a scumbag you are.
All right. Well, I would start with people.
Sam Cedar?
I would start with people who probably have a little bit more of investment in it, rather than just calling those people who are probably mourning their lost ones. But go ahead. If you think that it actually will make a difference, that more people know that
I'm. That's the thing. I am actually trying to make a difference. You're not. You want to speak with the status quo.
Okay. Well, I'm curious as to what my option is.
Now, we keep having this argument, and no matter what I say, you just always got to fall back on that same bullshit that we can't look beyond the two parties. So,
well, wait a second. Who's the third party candidate that is gonna be president?
We have to wait to see who runs.
I see. All right. And then once we vote for the third party, once I vote for the third party candidate, can I go around like you and say, like, I have nothing to do with this?
Yeah, you could, because if you vote for the third party candidate and they don't do anything wrong.
Not while you're paying your taxes, buddy. Not while you're paying your taxes and you're a citizen of this country.
I get a federal refund every year. Oh. I only pay state and local.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah, and guess what? If I didn't get a refund, I would send the IRS a letter saying I'm not paying.
Okay.
I have a question. You give a hitman money to kill someone. They kill someone, and then they give you your money back. You're not responsible?
All right. I got to go.
I guess there's...
Think about that one.
Also, I do know people. There are people who resisted war taxes and actually had to pay their taxes and did what you said you would do, which is they literally wrote to the IRS every year. They said, I'm not paying the following taxes for the following reasons. And they set that money aside explicitly to give... I mean, at the time, I guess they sent it to people recovering from Reagan's wars in Latin America, because that was the time period. They lost their home. I mean, they faced serious consequences for that stand.
That's a shame.
That's not, of course, it's a shame, but that's not. They weren't calling up radio shows.
I will certainly cop to not having that level of courage.
Yes, and I would too. But if you want to talk at that level, that is exemplary and something that's truly unique and truly rare. It's not voting or not voting for this or that candidate. They put literally their very possessions and life on the line to make a stand in that direction. And that's an entirely different thing.
Okay. Well, you know, God willing, someday I will be courageous as those people.
Yes. Well, when that happens, call back in, Jim, and I will then praise you.
And you will also, in your own words, Sam, I believe, say, I am, and I'm quoting Sam's future quote here, a goddamn hypocrite.
Yes. There you go.
Okay. Well, you're a goddamn hypocrite every day, so later.
Okay. I just appreciate the phone call.
I just don't get if you were to denounce Obama like he wants you to, what does that do?
Well,
Obama's
but
a
the
war
thing
criminal.
Is,
what does that solve? What does that do?
You know, but I mean, I have. I mean, it's, you know, in his mind, I should support Gary Johnson, who said that drones were on the table when he was running. Now, Jim didn't realize that, but even Gary Johnson. And then, look, the bottom line is, candidate doesn't win. I mean, am I, because I didn't vote for George Bush, do I have no culpability in the deaths of literally hundreds of thousands of Iraqis? So nice being able to walk around not having to worry about that. Well, what are you going
to
do?
I mean, more to the point, if
you
try.
You know, one year I got a tax refund. So, hey, there you go. That's it. I just paid local taxes. What are you going to do?
Bop, beep, boop.
Boop, 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 bam. Let's go back to the phones. calling from a 971 area code. Who's this?
Hey, this is Reagan in the Money from Pacific Northwest.
Hello, Reagan in the Money.
How's it going?
It's going good. How you doing?
All right, man. First time calling in. Thought I'd finally go ahead and pick myself up by my own bootstraps and make a phone call. So,
well, congratulations. It sounds great. I can hear you and everything.
Yep. Well, you know, using a phone that I built with my own two hands, so...
I'm glad to hear
Anyways.
That. What's on your mind?
Well, I was hoping to talk about a couple things. I noticed y'all were talking about Ron Wyden for a second with Cliff. I wanted to make a quick comment about that, more specifically about Kate Brown. Also, I was watching a clip that y'all made a couple days ago about Rand Paul.
Okay.
And I really think that you guys need to leave him alone.
Okay, well, let's start with Ron Wyden, then we'll do Kate Brown, then we'll go to Rand Paul. But we don't have too much time, so.
So let's get to Rand Paul.
Yeah, no worries. Well, let's see. I noticed you were talking about him, and I'm happy to hear that you're talking about Oregon, even though it seems like it's always just about the little stuff. But I wanted to know if you guys were following Kate Brown at all, more specifically, as she is our first bisexual governor.
I mean, big deal. I have not been following it too much. I mean, there's a couple of stories that sort of bubble up here and there, but I haven't been following her too much. I mean, I know how she became governor, and I know that she's pretty progressive as far as I can tell, but no, I haven't.
For sure. Well, I'm going to send her State of the State address to you guys. It's pretty interesting. There was something I wanted to do with it, but it involved, using the bathroom and wiping certain things.
Oh.
You know, pretty interesting, pretty typical, though. You know, she's a liberal, so she's got her agenda, which I'm not surprised about, which is mostly handouts and free lunches.
Okay.
But anyways, she has a lot that she's trying to do, and it's destroying our libertarian state of Oregon.
Wow.
A little sad, actually.
I'm sorry to hear about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? I don't know what to tell you. I try every day, man, but what do? You know, I'm only one person. I can only pick myself up by my own bootstraps and can't always help everybody else.
Right.
Now, one quick other thing. I just got to say that you liberal gun nuts really need to get off of Rand Paul. You know, he's an American patriot, gosh darn it. I really just refuse to hear his name tarnished. Because you know what? He stands for things. He has the same stance on, he'll tell you at least, he has the same stance on Monday that he had on Wednesday, no matter what he said on Tuesday. Very important. Because you know what? I believe him. Why shouldn't I? I'm an all-American patriot, just like him. I don't expect you really understand, but that's okay, because I can just shush you guys whenever you try and talk about stuff that I don't want to talk about, because that's the American way, right?
I appreciate your shushing us, even though we're guys. I think
right.
That's a step in the right direction for a Rand Paul fan.
It's very, very important, you know. It's all about equality, right?
Of course.
Both ends. Anyways, you know, he stands for things, and that's why I'm going to vote for him. He stands by things, too, like black people. And in things like poor neighborhoods. That's enough for me personally. You know, I've seen the 15-30 second ads. So that's all I needed to see, right? I mean, that's all he did that for, and that's all I needed. But that's about it.
Well, Reagan, you're in the money. So I appreciate the phone call, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a nice weekend.
You too. Bye bye.
That's good stuff.
Take care, bye bye.
Good stuff. That's pretty funny.
Let's go to calling from a 575 area code. Who's this? Come from a 575 area code. Who's this? Let's try. The next one is also a 575 area code, but it's a different number. Who's this?
Oh, hey. You got another New Mexico caller before me. My name's Ryan, and I just wanted to do a response to the guy who just, like, went off on you. But that, like, his attitude is exactly, because I worked with the Democratic Party in this last election cycle, and his attitude is exactly what killed us. Like, I'm not sure what's with, I guess, you know, this is like an echo chamber. You've already heard this before. But what is with progressives and liberals refusing to work with each other? As opposed to conservatives who, like, seems like this band to get over anything.
I got to tell you, the guy who called in, Jim, is not a liberal or progressive. I mean, he's a libertarian. I don't think, be honest with you, that in 2014, the reason why Democrats didn't win was because of that. It was because, personally, from my perspective, I think it's because the Democrats did not have enough of a sort of proactive. I mean, I think, look, the odds were stacked against them, as it were. But because off your election, whatnot, I think there's some structural things. But I think over time, the Democrats need to have a more proactive agenda to get their the voters who will come out during a presidential election to come out during an off-year election. So I really don't think I don't think the problem with Democrats not winning is a function of activists who are too, invested in certain issues that they don't come out. Because you know what? The reality is those people do vote. They do end up voting, the vast majority of them. And though that's not the problem. The problem of the people who just come out during the presidential elections, who don't pay much attention to politics, frankly, and don't think that voting for their congressperson is very important. Those are the people who are the problem.
Yeah, completely true. When, like, we got to finally see the analytics on, like, who voted in the area, it was overwhelmingly, like, no Democratic men, a lot of Republican men and women, and, like, an average amount of Democratic women. But, the whole thing that you're saying about the candidates, like, my candidate was also a supporter of Keystone XL Pipeline,
right.
And, was also big in fracking in our area. So there was really no distinction other than.
But it's not just even that, because look, it's not even just that, because the people who are invested in that issue because they're progressive, they're still probably going to end up voting for that person on some level because they know how problematic the problem is that that candidate, I don't know who it was, but was not out there saying that I want to expand Social Security, I want to give you paid sick leave. I want to raise the minimum wage. I want to take the cap off of Social Security and tax the wealthy more. I want to make sure that you get free child care. I want to make sure that you're having free college education, all of which is very doable, incidentally. Very doable. It's just a question of what we value in our society. If they're out there saying there's a reason for you to vote for me, and it's not just because you're afraid of the other guy, because that's just too hard of a sell. People, you need to give people a reason to actively come out and vote for you. And I'm sure your candidate didn't do that either.
No, you hit it like right on the money. Like it was the race against Steve Pierce, and of course Pierce won. He had like twice our cash, but that was also another big issue was. There just wasn't enough of a separation or strength, just more attacking his, like, quote from his autobiography saying that wives should be submissive to men and that he's against.
There also may be some places where there may be some places where Democrats just not going to win, too. But I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for calling in.
All
right. Bye-bye. All right. We'll try that. That other caller from New Mexico, one more time. You call him from a 575 area code. Who's this? For some reason, we cannot hear that person. Apologies. Don't know why. I think it's got to be on your end. All right. Let's go to the IMs. Lucifer, hello again. My point was that there's no nation in history which has not had to be repressive in order to provide prosperity for their citizens at a later stage. In the case of ISIS or Iraq government, what they are now is in the early stages of their development. We might have to wait 100 and 200 years for those nations to reach the same development stage. Okay, yeah. I mean, this is often overlooked by the mainstream media, but also by you, Majority Report. And whatever happened to Primer? Was she or he the most prominent MRIMer ever? Primer was an old-time troll that we had that was on the blog that I think moved to the IM, but I haven't heard from them in ages. Someone can be both against fast-track authority and skeptical of TPP while being pro-free trade. I want more open trade and more regressive elements in trade aren't baked into the cake. We can construct progressive free trade frameworks. It just isn't easy. Yeah, I mean, I think the problem is that free trade now has just become the sort of a buzzword that doesn't really mean much. Late to the shows, but have you guys covered Jindal's proposed cuts to public education? I've seen people saying 80% from university budgets. Wow. No, I haven't. Bingo Mosquito, when Obama does something completely opposite of progressive principles he supported just 8 years ago, I can only agree with Mike Mallory's theory that someone shows Obama the Zapruder film as a reminder to toe the line. Isabel and Michael come out as the dirty shirtists they are. And you're all pantists, you guys and your bigoted discrimination. Bring back hats with suits. Also, is the Majority Report really endorsing businesses controlling the health habits of employees through negative reinforcement? It's bad enough my employer hands out books and displays poster, all to save a buck on insurance. Slippery slope to docking my pay. Kudos to Matt for the hitman burn. Crickets.
I think it was such a cricket that he didn't even understand. Like, his thing was like, how do I respond to that? It was more like, I don't even understand what I'm supposed to be responding to. It was like a double set of crickets.
Canine Cats, I have YouTube on all kinds of devices and cannot get the Sammy Cam. Any possible solutions? You know, we've moved it over to the Sam Cedar show page. I don't know why you wouldn't be able to get it. Scott Walker is the Coke's 900.
Maybe if you're using the app, you're clicking the live stream link that Kyle had linked up to the Majority Report live page.
Oh.
That might be the reason.
We got to send an email to Kyle about that.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yes. It just occurred to me right now when you were reading that I am. Wow. So for now on, if you're listening to the show and you want to watch the live stream, go to youtube.com/Sam Cedar. It's the same link you use to go to the YouTube channel that has all the clips that we put up. We're combining the two YouTube channels. So youtube.com/Sam Cedar will have the daily clips and the daily full live show.
Walker will be the anointed one because of the money. I hope Hillary stays healthy because if she craps out next year for the Dems, it's over. Obama bot. Calling Republican congresspeople about TPP and arguing executive overreach is just another sign of the Majority Report trying to undermine Obama's authority. If Obama says it's not a secret deal, then it's not a secret deal. Are you calling the president a liar? Elizabeth Warren is just fundraising and looking for a way to not be eclipsed by Hillary. Everyone thought Obama wanted to cut Social Security, but he didn't. Now you're saying he wants to sign a secret trade deal. Why do we believe you? Isabel Gillies needs to stop her vicious attacks against Michelle Obama. Why do you keep calling Obama a war criminal? Pluger, Ick, please don't ever start a sentence with, I think he's trying to scoop up the Centaurum. Judy Miller, this is a tad controversial, but her Book and Timing interview comment makes the asset narrative more plausible because it sure seems like her handlers have reactivated her to provide cover for when they're arguing against the Iranian nuclear deal and pushing for military action against Iran. Why write that book now? And her interview comments focus on blaming the intelligence community for Iraq seem to be more about excusing the Bush administration pro-invasion. Well, I mean, the reason why you write that book now or it comes out now is because publishing houses sort of perceive like at the beginning of during the Iran negotiations, which people anticipated this was the deadline. And the presidential campaign, there may be more talk of foreign policy. But maybe you're right. I don't know. Rick Rollington, for a second, it sounded like you were saying Huckabee was trying to scoop up Santorum. Gross. Philly Hacker, I just called my new senator, Ted Cruz, on the TPP. His staffer said they've been getting a lot of calls on the subject from his constituents. Umar Shami. In your interview of Chris Hayes, he says he feels subject to peer pressure and gave the example of not wanting to hear your show and hear you criticizing him from the left. Did he say that? I don't remember that. Have you ever considered cynically taking advantage of this and constantly criticizing him for not covering the TPP until he does so? I'm not surprised since he's part of the corporate outlet, though for some reason I'm surprised John Oliver hasn't covered it yet. Look, I mean, it's not a big deal to most people. And, you know, I think that the thing is that this what all makes it hard to cover. We've said all we know, and Ed Schultz has been covering it. So I don't think it's a question. I think it's just a question of like what people are interested in, what they think they're interested in. And I think talking about this trade deal has been tough, I think, for people to cover. But I don't know. I'm surprised. I mean, I have to be honest with you. I don't watch Hayes. I have not watched cable TV with any regularity as of late. A lot of it has to do with just like I'm dealing with the kids, and Saul's a little bit older, so he's staying up a little later, and et cetera, et cetera. But I would imagine, okay. Someone just IM me said, I watch Hayes and Maddow. They just started talking about TPP this week. It's late. I agree.
Better late than never.
I think Rachel hosted. I just don't really watch much, but I think she had Elizabeth Warren on the other night to talk about this.
Right.
I mean, what's funny is the whole thing of like Elizabeth Warren and Obama are going at each other. That's like the best way to get a cycle of coverage about this, if you filter it through that.
Right. Bush and Chains, good news, majority or peons. You're too big to fail. Banking overlords continue to outlaw cash as you all learn to exist on debt. Slater, Sly. Centennial News, Florida legislator approves 24-hour wait for abortions. Wow. Text, stop news to quit. I'm not sure what that means, but. Militant apathy. Harkin comes from a corn state. Indeed. Mao Vegan, the only food movie you need to see is Cowspiracy. Much more politically astute and progressive than Fed Up. Dick Schlongsworth, breast milk has sugar in it too. Heard of lactose? Daralt, oh my God, I'm 56 years old. I'm going to outlive Matt. Kyla Kays, this conversation with Isabel makes you sound like the biggest elitist, fascist, hipster, liberal stereotypes ever looked down their nose at the little people. This was an embarrassment.
Just not drink soda?
I agree.
Oh, come on. Well, maybe the more the Paracel stuff.
The Parasol?
Or whatever the fuck that is. Yeah. Excuse me.
Isabel right now is like tweeting at Katie Couric and the Feta movie producers trying to get them to convince me to take the job.
Matt, when you're 40 years old, you're going to want to go back and kick your young ass for being so stupid about eating and your health. You're not young forever. Carl Sagan.
Oh, and she said she'd give me cooking lessons on Twitter. So if that's true, if Isabel Gillies will meet with me and give me cooking, we could do a series. A cooking series getting me to convince me to eat healthier.
Mm.
If we do that, then I'm down.
Okay, well.
If I could use this to promote myself in some manner, then I'm down.
I think you should restrict what Matt spends on his salary on. No pop, no cruises, steak, or lobster. Sam, why aren't you a dissident living in Russia now? Bob Flav, I just downloaded the movie Fed Up, but I insist on wearing a t-shirt and shorts when I watch it. I have some standards. Jizz Gargler, Isabel is right. You should really take more pride in your appearance, even if it's short-sleeve collared shirts like golf shirts. Or even if you wear 10 copies of the same shirt each week, it's better than leave the T-shirts for sleeping and working out. Trust me. You should only wear collared shirts in public.
And this is coming from a guy with what's his username?
You'll feel so much better.
What's this guy's username?
Jizz Gargler. Moshi Moshi. What's that Nazi mom dress code whilst watching a streaming YouTube show? Should I wear a collar out of respect for all you guys, show prep and rehearsals? Now I'm questioning my love for Isabel Gillies after today. I think I'm back at square one when Isabel had yet to grow on me. Speaking of grow on you, has Matt ever had moxie? Sammy, say it. Isabel's annoying. Say it. Say it. Say it, you coward. Say it. You have to use that guy's rant on your 360. Doe Link. This week, 50 vets in Texas met with congressional reps in Austin to plea for access to medical cannabis, citing PTSD and suicides among reasons. Support from Dems told legislator too conservative to act on the legislation now. Huh. Wow. Wow, we get a lot of IMs. Borat, say it. Rice Krispie treats are delicious. Don't be a coward. Say it.
They are.
Obama and Cheney. Sam, no, just hang up on Jim. California jerky. Bravo for your fundraising success on Indiegogo. Still don't understand why you don't refuse to cater a gay wedding. Psychedelic Quaker. For a while, I thought Jim from PA had fallen off the face of the earth. Wise Lion Report. Safe word is Howard Zinn. E. Greg's missing hair. You actually like Marin's old haircut. Say it, you coward. You love the John Lennon haircut. Shank Steele, effing brilliant takedown, but by four-time winners. Chomskyite, Sam, you have seemed gently perplexed by Rand Paul having to continue to his apology tour and assuming this is calculated by his team. Looks to me like the Republican establishment is rallying to knock him out of the race with complicity of Fox News. Watching them all destroy each other is going to be entertaining. I think there may be something to that. In the sticks, I believe Sam stunned that guy into silence. I would rather have Obama and drones than Bush and shock and awe. Right. The genie. Aloha, Matthew. I've overstimulated part of your tongue that tastes sweet. Your palate has to be retrained to actually taste what you put in your mouth. Sugar is addictive to some folks from childhood. May be helpful to adapt your taste buds by gradually tapering off from carbonated caramel-colored sugared water. You don't want to be toothless bastard. I'm a chef. Send Maddie out here to Maui, and I promise to teach him to cook while he works off the exchange in my bakery.
That sounds good, Sam. Send me to Maui. Let's do this.
All right, well, we'll talk about it. I'm happy now. Sam, you're one of the smartest people I kind of know.
Jesus Christ. What an op shot here.
I am full of admiration for you and your ability to discern the political mind and arguing with the little guy who just called in. Thank you, I think. Erica, good job confusing Jim. Kat, oh my God, he thinks because he gets a refund he doesn't pay taxes? What a Dumas. Pat Beal, the United States election system is designed to have only two parties. To not vote for the less evil is truly a vote for the more evil.
Right.
NYC teacher, Sam, what are your thoughts about the massive amount of students who opted out of state standardized tests in New York and across the country? What did Milo think of the test in these past 2 weeks? Love you guys. You know what? Let me talk about that on Monday. I mean, I talked about it yesterday, I think it was, or 2 days ago. Really, I'm encouraged by the opt-outs, and I was really torn about the situation with Milo, and I think it's well, let me talk about it on Monday. Carioca, Obama, RIP, Matt's lifestyle. Storky, a tax refund means you paid more in federal taxes than your obligation, but you did pay federal taxes. Jay Tingle, just check Twitter, and Jim is right. President Obama favorited Sam's tweet that reads, droning suspected insurgents is fine, but droning innocent civilians helps me feel smug and self-righteous as I complain about conservatives.
That's right.
President probably would have retweeted, but he doesn't have the same leeway that Sam has allows him so many extra characters per tweet. They don't show him the Zapruder film. They show him the footage taken from behind the grassy knoll. Oliver has covered TPP, though, obliquely. Ari Rabenhoff claims to have been the first to start flogging the issue. I have a feeling I was talking about it before Ari was on air, with all due respect. Let's see. TPP majority report. I wonder when the earliest was.
Was the first time you mentioned TPP?
Yeah. Let's see. Can you find that?
Give me a second.
I feel like we were talking about this very early. Let's see. 2014. I see. January 2014?
Wow. No. The very first time you ever mentioned the Trans-Pacific Partnership was on June 15th, 2012.
Yeah. So tell Ari to put that in his pipe. Smoke it. Always surprises me when guys like Jiz Jarjaler post their real names. Lawless. Best casual Friday ever. The gym call was a cherry on top. I'm in Buster second. Wow, that war criminal guy appears to have actual mental problems. I didn't realize I had tuned in on a borderline personality Friday. The call was too long, But the good news is, if he wasn't calling into your show, he'd probably be shooting up a Taco Bell.
Oh, people are – we have so, probably have so many new listeners since the last time Jim called in. People are not familiar with Jim from PA.
Yeah.
I don't think they would, like, revise their assessment of him.
This guy would call in probably on a weekly basis leading up to 2012, telling Sam that Gary Johnson was the man,
right,
and that anyone else is the wrong choice, and Gary Johnson's going to save America, and he's the holier-than-thou perfect candidate who won't send us to war, won't kill one innocent, won't do anything wrong whatsoever and save the world. And then right after the election, we came across an interview with Gary Johnson performed by Reason, I think.
No, I think it was written up in Reason, but the interview was somewhere else. I can't remember where it was.
So there was an interview with Gary Johnson that came out that had asked him, you know, about his policy on drones, and he said how, well, he wouldn't completely rule them out. And then when the next time Jim from PA called in, you can find this all on YouTube, just search Jim from PA. But the next time Jim called in, Sam presented him this information, and he was absolutely...
Yeah, it was, you know, he didn't enjoy it.
Yes.
Juan Miguel.
His clause used to be longer.
Juan Miguel, free trade is just labor arbitrage. Yes.
Regulation.
But,
it's a regulatory
agreement. This deal has very little to do with free trade and has far more to do with trying to find an international mechanism in which to expand, well, regulation, but things like intellectual property law, and it's enforceable in a way that other entities are not enforceable, and basically the solution they found to enforce this mechanism is through a corporate structure. Moxie is a great cola. Cola came first, adjective later. Reagan in the money. One last thing. Didn't my first call song or the intro song I sent you. Thanks a lot, buddy. Oh, we didn't. We got to pull that Reagan in the money thing. Kate Brown's State of the Union. Criso, the cascade of high-five emojis when Cedar got faced by the libertarian convo stopper must have been blinding. I had a tax refund. Zing. Barmstead. FYI, I watch Hayes every night. They both started talking about TPP this week. Mr. Brooks is right. Warren was on Maddow, and the only thing they talked about was the president and his comments about her and the TPP.
Right.
Neff. Matt, check out Blue Sky Soda. No high fructose corn syrup or sugar. It's organic, made with stevia.
Oh, yeah, I've had organic soda. It's really good.
Blue Sky is made with stevia.
Ah, okay. I'll have to check it out. Blue Sky Soda.
It'll help you step down from full sugar soda. No, Robocully.
For sure.
Do you think Obama's sudden leftist position could be a 12-dimensional chess game so he could push through with a fast track? They seem so different. No. I think he would have done this either way. Any chance of a charge for getting this tweet read live on UK TV to Piers Morgan? To hack people's phones and emails in order to sell newspapers, should send the clip if you like. I don't know. I'm not even sure I know what you're asking me. Little Gray, say it. Hey, shut up. Loprezoy, Sam, you should talk about how the mainstream media is teaming up with the right wing to gang up against Hillary. I'm still working my way through that that stuff. I mean, takes a lot more energy than I may have at the moment, but maybe we'll get to it next week. All right, folks, have a great weekend. The final I Am of the week. Deuce Me Daily. What is going on with these usernames? So lowbrow. I bet none of these clowns own a parasol. Goddamn hypocrites. Also, your thoughts on whether minimum wage increases will negatively impact seniors on fixed income. All the more reason to push for expanding Social Security. See you Monday.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick. I guess I'm where the choice is made. For the option where you don't get paid. For the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I guess I'm at a loss.